EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merger 295. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And it is dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls?
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
Let's not take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to the show, wherever in the world you are listening from. I hope you are well and having a good week. I'm Nick Hunter and this is the UFO Chronicles podcast. Starting off tonight is sisters Franny and Mandy calling from the state of Connecticut in the US, sharing 3 very interesting encounters. Then staying on the East Coast, we speak with Walter in New Jersey about what he witnessed above Ruiten Bay back in 1998. Franny and Mandy up next. If you enjoy listening to the podcast and would like to help support my work, there is a couple of ways to do this. Either you can join Patreon and become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate via PayPal. And if you like, you can set up monthly reoccurring payments. All links to support the podcast are below in the show notes and on the website. Any help is extremely appreciated, and it helps the show to continue running. Now, on with the show. Hello, Franny and Mandy. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Nick.
Hi, Nick.
Thank you both for joining us today, and you're calling from Connecticut in the US?
Yes.
Right. Yes, we are.
Wonderful. Are you getting hit with the snow at the minute?
No, not yet. No. That's further up north, not over here yet. Not so much.
Oh, that's good then. Don't have to get your snow shovels out just yet.
Right.
Now, you have 2 experiences to share with us tonight. Would you like to start at the beginning, please?
Well, yes. We'll start with the first one and we'll share the other. Okay. So we're going back, like we grew up in Puerto Rico. So we're going back to the year 1980 in Puerto Rico. We lived, and when I say we, it was Mandy and I. We were 7 years old, and then our older sister, she was 13 at the time, and our mom. She was a single mom. We lived in a high rise, and we were on the 9th floor. Our apartment had a balcony, and we could see pretty much like all the way up to, we were in San Juan, so we could see all the way up to where the sea was, like the Atlantic Ocean. So we could see all of that. It was a beautiful view. One night, I believe it was a school night. It must have been because we were in bed, like at a pretty good time. 1980, and all of a sudden, we hear our mother frantically calling all 3 of us out of our bedrooms. Come here, come here, come here. And she takes us to the balcony. And right there in the horizon, just hovering above the city. And when I say city, you could see a lot of like all the high rises, the skyline, and it was nighttime, so you could see like the lights forming the skyline, and there was this huge thing, like the photo we sent you, it was just like that. I cannot remember where I found that photo online, but it looked just like that, like the rectangular lights, one next to the other. I remember them in orange. Our older sister told me a few years ago that she remembers them yellowish. And Mandy, I don't know what color.
I remember yellowish.
So, and it was huge. It was like at least... It
must have been like 3 football fields big.
Put together.
Yeah.
Just floating there.
Just, it wasn't whole. It was just there. And then, so we were able to take a good look. It wasn't like something that lasted a few seconds. It was, we got a good...
We were there for a while.
Yes.
Looking at it.
Mm-hmm. But then all of a sudden, it started kind of like retracting, like flying away. And then it was so fast. It was like a supersonic kind of...
Yeah, it wasn't like...
Speed.
Yeah. It's not like Grand Prix speed or like the space shuttle. It's like... It's a speed that you cannot... We cannot explain it because it's like super. Like you see it, but it's like a blink of an eye. Gone.
Until there was just a dot, like a light, like a dot. And then it just disappeared.
Yeah, just like that.
That's pretty cool.
It was pretty cool.
But then there's something else that we barely talk about. Maybe because it's something that feels like a dream.
Mm-hmm.
We only started talking about it, but we didn't talk about it for like years. We were 13, Puerto Rico, still over there. And we had bunk beds. Mm-hmm. So Franny had top bunk. I had the bottom, the lower bunk. And one night, I must have woken up. We must have been sleeping already.
Yeah, right? But we woke up, I guess. I do.
First, I wake up and I look toward the head of my bunk and I see a pair of pants, like dark pants. It's like a dark figure, just pants.
I saw a hat because I was on the top bunk.
Right.
But... And we didn't add this to the email, Nick, because we just heard the episode about...
What is it? One of the episodes, somebody described something like that, and we flipped.
Because somebody you were had in the show, and the person was describing what we now saw. We know it has a name.
Right.
A hat man. But we just discovered this, like, after we sent you the email, and we reached out to you. We just realized this, like 3 days ago?
Tuesday.
Yeah. Just this past Tuesday, and me and Mandy was driving and she slammed on the brakes and she sent it to me. I was at work. I was like, no freaking way.
This has
a name.
Right. So that was, yeah, that, I mean, all these years, I thought it was like a dream or something. And
mm-hmm.
Now we, oh, wait a minute. Yeah.
It has a name and other people see it.
It's so that now we know that thanks to your show.
Mm-hmm.
There's another one that's...
Yeah, it's only 3 experiences that we had, and they're very short, and we really are, like, not talking people. Like, we're very, like, short and sweet kind of sort of people. The one that really amazes us happened here in Connecticut. We've been here 31 years living here, and like with the bunk beds, we've always shared a room. When we were single, before we got married, we always shared a room, and we were 25.
This is our late 1990s.
Yeah, the late 90s. Mm-hmm. And again, we were sharing a room and we had a big, like one of those queen beds, and we had to share it again because we always had to share. And it was nighttime and we're both sleeping. Mandy's right next to me and I'm waking up for no reason. I wake up and look up to the ceiling. And right there on the ceiling, floating quietly, and it's floating and it's peaceful floating. It's the best way I can explain it. There are these symbols. They're not letters. They're not numbers. They're glowing on their own. It's not a reflection. It's individually. They each glow and they're floating. Sometimes one will be a little bit over the other one, but they're like just glowing all over the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
When we say they're not letters or numbers, Mandy and I are history junkies. We have always been. And ever since we had that experience in the late 90s, we have searched and searched for something that resembles these symbols. We haven't found it. So it's not letters that we know of. It's not, we cannot explain it.
It's not an alphabet that we can say, okay, oh, these are the, no.
No.
We haven't found anything.
Anything like it that resembles it. But we know there's, it's just the best way we can describe it. Symbols, and they're just nice and glowing. So I'm like, wait a minute, Mandy's next to me. So then I'm like, Mandy, wait, Mandy, what was I doing? Like, I was nudging you, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but you were also saying, Mandy, so Fran, my back is toward Franny. And then I hear her saying, she's nudging me. And then she says, Mandy, what's that? Now my back is to her. Mm-hmm. So when I hear Mandy, what's that? For some reason that I don't know, I don't look at her. I don't turn around and look at her to see what she's referring to. I know immediately, and I cannot explain why, I know immediately that I have to look up, and I see the letters. And it was so amazing.
Amazing.
What is that? So then I just, because I, unfortunately, at that moment, I like to sleep. So I said, I don't know. And I just went back to sleep.
She turned around and went back to sleep.
But you stayed up and you saw that a little longer.
Yeah, a little longer. Like, it was just, they were beautiful. And now we look back and we're like, why didn't we stay up? Why did all we had to do was jump on, like stand up on the bed and try to touch it? Mind you, all the windows were closed because we're paranoid. Our house was like a little bit isolated from the other houses on the street. So we were like, oh my God, we're like in the middle of nowhere, so to speak. So let's close everything. We don't want any creep looking at. So the blackout shades were down, drawn, like everything was covered. The door was closed. Like there's no way anything from the outside. They were just there floating and they were beautiful again. And
so the next day I wake up and I start getting ready and I see that Franny is just sitting up in bed, just looking at me. I had no recollection at this point. The memory is gone. Had she not asked me, to this day, I still wouldn't remember. But then I see her sitting in bed, looking at me, my every move. And I'm like, okay, you know, what's going on? I keep getting my clothes. And then she says, Mandy, what was that? And that, at that moment, everything came back floating.
The flowing, glowing symbol.
I turn around and I say, what was that?
Mm-hmm.
And then she goes, you saw them too, huh? I said, oh my God, yes. And then that, at that moment, we realized we had experienced something paranormal, something
extraordinary, something and beautiful and like just unique. Mm-hmm. It was really wonderful. And I know the UFOs are like, because people are getting to see them more and now people can record them. So that's like the hype. But I don't know you, Mandy, but to me, it's like in my heart, it's more the glowing symbols.
Yeah, we wanted to share this just because we've gone online to see if someone else has experienced it. And we haven't found anything. So maybe if we share this, someone out there who has seen them too can say, oh, okay, other people see it.
Maybe give an idea of what it could be. We have no idea what it is, but
that's all we got.
That's all we got, Nick.
Good job. That was nice and easy. So these symbols, like say that your blinds were down, your windows were closed, there was no reflection or anything coming through the window.
Nope.
Or the door.
Or the door. Nothing. And they were floating. You know, when you reflect something, like we have the technology these days. You know, like people do Christmas, that you could see it from outside, the things floating on the outside. It's not like that. They were floating on top of it. It's hard to explain.
And they were like made out of light.
They were light.
Like, yeah.
Each one had light, their own light, and they would flow. Sometimes they would, one would go behind the other and then the other one, and then they would go. It's like floating, like a little slow dance of symbols. It was no reflection.
No, it was. It's like kind of like the UFO that when you see it, you know it's not an airplane. You know
what you've seen, and you know it's not something that you see every day. Or even like a fiction movie. Did you just know you have to see them? It's hard. Like I tell my husband, he's like, no, but that was an airplane.
No, you, when you see it, you realize you're seeing something different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And these symbols, were they just singular symbols or were they in groups?
Singular.
But it was a big group of singular symbols. Yes.
Did they resemble letters at all?
That's the thing. Like, when we talk amongst ourselves, we say the letters, the symbols, the numbers, but they don't resemble any alphabet or any system that we've gone back to ancient Greece.
We've gone back to searching ancient symbols. When we say ancient, we're not talking, the Roman times. No, we're going back to when people, like you see online in National Geographic, that people wrote on like stone. Mm-hmm. We cannot find them.
Have you looked at Enochian?
Ooh.
What I'll do is I'll just send it to you.
Okay. Do you want us to look at it?
Yeah, just take a look. See if these look familiar.
Got it. No, that's not what I remember.
No, I'm going to say no.
I don't know.
That's all right. Would you be able to maybe draw anything that you remember?
So the closest one, not exactly, but the closest one that we found, but closest, not really that I can say, that we can say, that's it.
No. Right, no. But it's like closest that we can say.
Closest, yeah. If let me see how I can describe it. We've looked at the Hebrew alphabet, the ancient paleo one. Mm-hmm. It looks very similar to the very first one, also with the Greek alphabet, but we're talking ancient.
We're talking like crazy.
Yeah,
way
like the
back.
Very first symbols
it could
that
resemble that.
Yeah, but it's not close.
Yeah. Right.
Because what you can do, if you remember or maybe draw a couple of them out. I've got a program where I can do a drawing of a symbol and it will tell me the closest to it if it appears anywhere online.
Okay. Oh my goodness, Nick, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Nick.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, so try that because, yeah, that's definitely very unusual. I mean, seeing symbols.
Well, we would have to go by Franny's account because I went right back to sleep.
Mandy went back to sleep because Mandy loves sleeping. But I'm going to say 5 minutes. 5 minutes. And that's what bugs me because I could have easily just, Nick, all I had to do was stand on the bed, both of us, and we could have at least touched it to see what it was. What was it? To touch it because, again, they were not reflected on the ceiling. They were floating. You could see that it was there was space between all of them, like space here and there, just floating. So we could have done that. We could have just tried to touch them. But we didn't.
Yeah.
But they were beautiful. It's like such a beautiful, beautiful memory.
And it's very interesting that when we talked about this years later, that day, I felt very happy the rest of the day.
It was peaceful, I don't know, they left you with some kind of good energy, positive. Yeah. It was just peaceful. They're floating like yay, just floating.
And you weren't scared
no,
by seeing this?
Not at all, not one bit. It was very cool.
And in this house in particular, you hadn't had anything like that?
No.
That was the only one.
What you mean, if we know of anything like that happening before?
Anything that happened to you guys in the house?
Oh, no, just that one experience.
Just that one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and did you tell your parents at the time?
Oh, immediately.
Yes.
We told the next day, anyone who would listen, because it was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It is, Nikki, you cannot, it was so beautiful, amazing to see that floating all over your ceiling. It's beautiful.
And what did your parents say?
Well, our dad is very Christian. I'm not saying we're not, but he said, when we explained to him, he said, well, the Holy Spirit was there with you guys. That's what he said. You know, rest in peace because he passed. But he, at that moment, he said it was the Holy Spirit. I don't remember what our mom said.
I don't remember either.
But we did tell.
We told them, yes.
Our parents, our older sister, we told all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. So we put a call out there. Anyone of our listeners out there, if you've seen something similar to what Franny and Mandy has seen in the form of symbols, floating symbols, and they were like a green color.
I remember them green, like slimy green.
But I remember them a golden light.
Right.
Made out of golden light, I should say.
Right, yeah.
Okay, so you remember it as two different ways.
Yes, but Mandy's colorblind. I should have said that. Mandy,
I see colors different.
Right, that we could be at a party and everyone's, no, that's blue. And she sees purple or vice versa, things like that. So.
Okay, gotcha. All right, yes, that might be the reason why. So if there's any of our listeners out there which have experienced anything very similar to what these ladies have, let us know. We'd be interested. Definitely, yeah, if you can maybe do a drawing, the best you can of what you do remember.
We will.
Of those images.
We will.
We'll see if we can track them down, and or we'll put them on the internet and see if anyone recognizes those symbols.
Okay. Thank you, Nick.
Thank you, Nick.
No problem. And yeah, so your encounter with the Hat Man.
We didn't even know. Nick, this is crazy.
And this is why we're so glad that we bump into your show, because we are able not to put a name to that experience.
To that one experience. Right. That one experience. We left it behind. Not like the symbols that we, or even the UFO.
Yeah, that we were very clear that we saw that. But the Hat Man, we just.
Two days ago.
We were like, what?
That's what? That has a name and people see it all over the world. Like, we had no clue. We had no clue. That was a thing at all. But then we said, why don't we share it since we have the date today with you to be on the show? We said, well, why don't we just add that one up?
But it was strange. I only remember the pants.
Yeah, it was unsettling. That experience was like,
it was not
a guy in the room. And we're like, what was that?
That wasn't like the letters that it was peaceful. Right. That one was like, there's someone in the room. Let me go. I just turned around.
He was just standing there, and because it's a tall figure, I saw the top and Mandy saw the bottom, but he's just standing there. He's not doing anything else, just standing. It's the weirdest thing. Mm.
Yeah.
And this was in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, this was mid-80s.
'87.
So yeah, he definitely does get seen all over. Mm. Do you remember the type of hat he was wearing?
Yeah, I was asking Franny. She remembers the hat, but she doesn't remember the specific.
Like, what kind of hat? You know how some people, since 2 days ago that we heard your show and we knew it was a thing, some people say this kind of hat or that kind of hat. I just remember a hat. It could be a hat from those people in the 40s, in the 1940s, or I wish I could be more specific, but I really can't. I saw he had something on his head, so I associated it with a hat.
And you couldn't see a face or anything?
No. No, it's just like a shadow.
Mm-hmm. It was dark. I just saw dark.
And the room is pitch black. So if you can believe that, like a room pitch black,
and then you can still see like this figure there. So it's the best way we can explain it.
Of course. And Mandy only got the pants.
I got the pants. Yeah, mm-hmm. I saw the pants and I said, what? There's someone there. And I just think, 13 years old, you think that you can just, if you turn over, it's going to disappear. So that's what I did. I turned over. I said, okay.
Mandy's good at turning over. She turned over with the symbols too.
Yeah, I did too. Chloe.
She does not compromise her sleep.
Yeah, I'm the same. When in doubt, turn over under the covers and go back to sleep.
It'll go away, right?
But I've had several people report the strange shadowy figure wearing various different hats, and he's recorded literally all over the world.
So weird. It's weird.
Yeah, but we're glad that we can put a name to it.
Now. Right.
Well, as good a name as you can give something like that.
Oh my God, Nick, we were like blown away. We were like, what? Two days ago, this is crazy. So we said, now that we're going to talk to Nick, maybe the glowing symbols, some people have seen them too. Mm-hmm. And maybe they could put a name to it or whatever.
Maybe now they can come forward and share it too.
Exactly. Right.
Exactly, yeah. Hopefully. Yeah, I don't think this is going to be an isolated incident.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully not. So.
That would be interesting to find out where they originate from.
Right.
Did you grow up in a particular religious family?
Our parents were divorced. And our father was Christian believer, taught us about the Bible, taught us, you know, do the right thing, you know, everything about Jesus, teaching and loving and forgiving and all that. Our mom was not that religious. Not that she wasn't. She does believe, you know, there's a higher power and, you know, you guys should pray and all of that. But to sit down and talk to us about, like, Jesus' teachings and the Bible's teachings, like, our dad, she was not like that. So we kind of, like, we took a little bit from here, a little bit from there, and then...
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Take all the good bits.
Right. Right.
Wonderful. Okay. And now your UFO you saw.
Mm-hmm. It was huge.
Yeah.
Because it was hovering...
Over the city,
like over all the buildings. We're talking like a city. If you go on Google Earth and go over like the San Juan, the metro area, San Juan by the coastline, you can see these are high rises. They're not like, you know, 100 story buildings, but they're easily 20, 30 stories high.
Right. So if that thing was going to land from where it was, I say it was like 3 football fields.
Easily. Easily.
Huge.
Huge.
And clear. Clear.
Clear. Clear, Nick. Like clear.
There's no, that was not.
That was no plane. That was no.
But back in the 80s, you couldn't talk about these things.
Right.
You couldn't.
No. Super taboo. Super taboo. Mm-hmm. You could not mention it. Like now you tell a millennial, I saw a UFO. And they say, oh yeah, I saw one too when I was in Thailand.
I took a picture
here. But back then, oh no.
No, you couldn't. You couldn't.
Right, yeah, you're absolutely right, Dianne, that, you know, they're no stranger to UFO activity.
Mm.
Some of these experiences go back a long way on the island. And you said it was like a huge oval shape.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. We found a picture online.
I sent it to him.
Yeah, and that's the, it looked exactly
like that one, like the one we sent you on the email.
Mm.
And with the lights and everything, the lights will go.
The whole thing, yes. Everything. And I like the picture, and that's why we send it to you, because you can see a city on the bottom, like of the picture. You can see lights of like buildings. So that's exactly what we saw.
I mean, something that big, you know, it would have been definitely seen by multiple people around the city.
Right. You would think, right?
Yes.
And all 4 of us saw it. All 4 of us. It's not like Mandy saw it or our sister saw it or our mom. It was all 4 of us on the balcony
at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Just seeing this thing. Mm-hmm. Just like, what in the world?
Yeah, you know it's something different. You know
it's
immediately.
Different. And then the way it took off.
Yes.
The speed.
Right.
Like supersonic. There has to be a name for that type of speed. You know, we're not scientists, but there has to be a name for that. The way it left, and then it was like a star, and then it was boom, gone.
Mm-hmm.
And did it shoot off straight up?
You know, it wasn't like up. It was more like
away, right.
Backing away, and not going up. It was more
like backing away
on
to the
spot, light. But backing away
towards the
going back,
right to the horizon,
right.
Kind of, sort
right.
of.
Okay, so it was moving away from you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Just like that. If you could call that moving, because it was literally like the speed was unbelievable. Like the way, and just, then it's like a star. We're going to call it like a star.
And then the star disappears.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that was in 1980.
Mm-hmm.
We'll definitely look that up to see. And that was over the main city.
Yeah, San Juan. Mm-hmm.
I mean, something so big. I mean, it has to have been seen by...
It had to.
So you would think.
But then we've heard also on the show, on your show, that some people see things and the person next to them does not see them. So how?
That's something I learned with this show, Nick, that I didn't know that sometimes people see paranormal things or UFOs and not everybody sees them. I thought that if I saw something and the person next to me
should see it too. Because
right.
when we saw it, it was all 4 of us and we're seeing
it.
Or the symbols.
I saw
both
them
of
front.
Us saw it.
But
it's
not
like
the
that
case.
All the time.
That's not always
we're
the
learning
case.
With your show that that's not always the case.
It's very informative. You learn a lot with this show.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, sometimes somebody can be in the field with a family member, say, and there could be a UFO flyover. One will see it. One will either see it and acknowledge it, but don't care about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get that. Mm-hmm. Other times we can have UFOs over highways where one person will see it,
mm-hmm.
and then no one else would even bat an eyelid. So it's definitely unusual. Sometimes people see things. Some people, whether they see it or not, or don't acknowledge it, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Right.
But you both obviously have a bit of a connection, any case. So maybe, you know, maybe that's an indication to these symbols that you saw.
Mm-hmm. They were beautiful. It was a wonderful experience.
That's my favorite one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's certainly interesting. That one. That's good. I like that. Well done, guys. That was nice and easy.
Thank you, Nick.
It really wasn't that bad.
Thank you for giving us the opportunity to share the experience.
Yes.
Certainly is interesting. And I enjoy having fresh accounts that we haven't really had before, because then, you know, in turn, it brings out other people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully.
Have you been listening for a while?
Franny found the show and she sent it to me. So when was that? Like 2 months ago?
About 2 months ago.
2 months ago.
Mm-hmm. Listen to it every day.
Every day. We're like... You have to listen to this episode. Yeah, it's the conversation of the weekends when we get together on weekends. Let me tell you what
it is just what we needed.
Yeah, exactly. Just what we needed, because all these years that you don't know if you can, you know, if you can share it with a certain person, you know, so many years experiencing these things and you cannot talk to everybody and all of a sudden you find this show that you can just hear people sharing their things, and it's very good. We're very thankful.
That's why I started it, because there just wasn't anything out there. You know, there wasn't anything out there that was involving just everyday people. It was always the same ones on the television. And
Right.
So, you know, this was just a way of getting normal everyday people like myself and you guys to share these, and the emails I get are just endless, absolutely endless.
Really?
Absolutely.
Please, we want to thank you,
Nick,
so much for the show.
We appreciate you, Nick.
Listen, you have no idea. Thank you so much for the show.
Thank you
so much.
Well, I'm glad you guys enjoy it, and a lot of people do. You know, a lot of people will listen, they will come across this show and they will just binge them, so they will just listen to them every single day. Guys, I had a guy, he was on a road trip across America, and he listened to all the episodes, and then he ran out midway through his trip, and then he just started again. He started the episodes and carried on. So yeah, it's good. It's good that people enjoy it. You know, I get tons of email from people just saying how much they enjoy it. So it's nice, you know, especially when you put as much effort into someone and people appreciate it.
Yes.
It's always good to hear that.
Definitely. Please never stop. Ever
since. It is priceless.
It is priceless.
Well, I won't stop until I stop receiving emails. So, Franny, Mandy, I really appreciate you both for coming on today and sharing that for our listeners.
Thank you for having us, and thank you for the show again.
So much.
Thank you so much.
You're more than welcome. Keep in contact, all right? Keep listening, and I will speak to you soon.
Thank you.
You too, Nick.
You too. Thank you.
Take care. Speak to you soon.
All right. Bye.
All right, bye for now.
I'm Richard Serrett. Join me on Strange Planet for in-depth conversations with the world's top paranormal investigators, alien abductees, Bigfoot trackers, monster hunters, time travelers, alternative archaeologists, remote viewers, and more.
As I was on the way to Area 51, I was stopping on the side of the road and just taking measurements, and I found this one spot where time slowed down by a fraction of a second. It's not supposed to do that.
From the two big categories, animal mutilations and human abductions, you have to conclude that genetic material is being harvested.
Well, I reached for a rifle, and I turned and looked, and it was already moving away, and it was descending the bluff. There's no way any human could have went down it. It was probably a 75-degree angle straight down, almost.
On Richard Serrett's Strange Planet, we're redefining reality. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Do not go any further. Turn around, go home.
Hello, Walter. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us today, and you're calling from New Jersey.
That's correct. Central New Jersey.
Wonderful. Now, Walter, you have 3 UFO sightings to share from over the years. Would you like to start at the beginning, please?
Yes, I would like to kind of save the best for last, so it won't really be chronological, but I'll start with when I was the youngest, which was in about 1995. maybe 1994. I had a friend across the street named Kevin, and you know, we would do, I was at the time 14, 13 years old, something around there, and we would do things that, you know, kids would typically do on a Sunday at that time. We would play outside, play war, play army, whatever it was. But that particular Sunday in the fall of that year, we had his dad outside, my brother. We were playing American football, like touch football. And it was an overcast day. And we were looking toward the west. And we were on a, like a small street. So we're looking toward the west. And we see what we all thought was like a Mylar balloon, like the silver, silvery-ish kind of looking balloon flying, yeah, I don't know, about 20 feet above treetop level, kind of floating toward us. And, you know, we didn't think nothing of it. We really kept our eye on it. And here it comes, floating, floating. And now we were children, but there was an adult with us outside. And as this object comes overhead, we look up. Now it's straight up over our head. And we look up and it's flat. Okay. Now it isn't like, you know, where air is blowing a paper bag around, or it wasn't wobbling or waving. It was solid vertical. It was essentially, I guess, a disc, you could say, vertically standing up and just floating across the sky from west to east. And even Kevin's dad was like, I don't know what that is. What is that? We kind of like went into the backyard, and it just continued on its path. And I mean, even his dad said, I don't know how that was staying in the air, because it's not a balloon. It wasn't inflated. There was no noise. It was dead silent. It was about the size. It was about the size of a balloon, maybe a little bigger. I don't know, foot and a half at the largest, but it was close enough. Like I said, treetop level. Now to kind of tack onto that story, I mean, this is really strange. I had a friend of mine named Craig, who we worked together years later in like the food industry. And he lived exactly west of me across town. And one day we're talking, and we're telling some stories, and I bring the story up, and he pulls me aside. He goes, Walt, he goes, I saw that. He said, the date has to be right, because he said it was somewhere around like what I said. And he said it was a Sunday. He goes, I remember it was overcast. And he goes, Walt, I saw the same thing go over our neighborhood. And I mean, unless the guy was lying to me, I mean, he was a, you know, he had no reason to lie. But that was that story. Moving on to the second story that happened to me. This is what I was, like I said, I'm going to save the best for last. The second thing was in about 2013. I was driving home from my parents' house, going to my house. So I was driving northbound on Garden State Parkway. And it was nighttime. It was, I believe it was spring or beginning of summer. Had the windows down. I was in my truck driving northbound on Garden State Parkway. And I look over and I see three big orange amber, I'll call them lights in the sky. Enough to the point where it was so shocking to me that I actually pulled over on the parkway and I called my mother up. And as I call her, I'm out of my truck. I'm standing, and there's what looks like molten metal dripping out of the lights, and they were just kind of floating away. They were going from east to west. I was facing north. New York is north of me. And these orange objects were floating west, dripping metal. It looked like metal to me, like how iron, when iron melts, it almost turns like an orange, and it was dripping. And it's funny because I do, I've always been into, you know, UFOs and paranormal and things like that. And I just recently listened to a story of this, almost the same exact account in India. I don't remember any details about it, but I remember the person saying that it was, it looked like a dripping molten metal coming out of the light. Now I said, could it be the Chinese lantern? I never seen one before, and I did look it up, and they are illegal in New Jersey. And it was over like a swamp lowland area. There wasn't like homes nearby or like a venue, like a wedding venue or something there. Maybe someone would do that. I actually contacted MUFON over that, and I had a field investigator contact me, and I told him the whole story. And then I told him the story previous I just told you, and the next one I'm going to tell you. And he was very interested, took my account, and said he'd be back in touch with me. And a weird part about that was that after I spoke with this gentleman, I went to call him back, and his number was disconnected, and he never called me back. I never heard from him again. So that was kind of odd. But yeah, no, that was definitely strange, an account enough to where I pulled over on a highway and called my mom up. I did film it with it was like an iPhone, maybe, I don't know, 5 or something I had at the time. It was unrecognizable in the video. It was almost useless to record it. So moving on to what I call the best, I guess you could say, was the most interesting, or the most shocking, really, was in, now this is going back to about 97, 98. I was 17. I had a friend named Steve who was 18. It was October, November. It was cold out. It was dark. It was a school night. We used to kind of just drive around in his car, like, you know, listen to music, smoke cigarettes, you know, no drugs involved, no drinking. That's, you know, just hanging out at the school night. And where I lived in Monmouth County, New Jersey, there's a beach called Leonardo Beach. And if you go to Leonardo Beach and you look north, you see the entire skyline of New York. You see Brooklyn to the right, Manhattan, the rest of New Jersey to the left of your view. So facing north. In that bay, that's called Raritan Bay. In that bay is a long Naval Weapons Station pier called Naval Weapons Station Earl. And, but it's ammunition ships and cargo ships is essentially what that base deals with that, naval base deals with. And, you know, it was just part of life there. You always knew the pier was, you called it the pier, you know, the pier there, and saw lights on it and stuff, ships out there. And, anyway, so we pull up to Leonardo Beach. We get out of the car. We're just smoking a cigarette, talking, you know, just hanging out. We did this commonly. It's a common thing we did. And to our surprise, we look up and there is a grid in the sky. I mean, I'm talking miles wide of a checkerboard pattern of, like, imagine a disco floor. Okay. And the squares are perfect squares in this checkerboard pattern in the sky. But they're turning on and off at random, like once, you know, it's on and off, a game or something like that. Squares turning on, turning off at random. And it's just this sharp lightning blue color, like a blue white color, just almost a lightning color, flashing squares going off in the sky. I mean, gigantic. And the freaky part of it was, I mean, it sounds freaky as it is, but the real freaky part of it was that it was like the edges, and this is what I noted to myself, it was perfect. The edges, it wasn't like, I believe it was overcast that night, because that's, I believe it was projected on clouds from what I remember, like an overcast sky. It was so perfect. It was shocking because there was no like, oh, the edges are rounded or it's fading off on the side. It was like, it was unbelievable. I didn't see anything projected from, you know, one thing I thought it was like maybe came from the pier or came from a ship. But I mean, I don't remember seeing anything from the surface. And the pier doesn't like go out to the middle of the bay. It goes out far, but not, I mean, Raritan Bay is huge. So me and Steve, we looked at each other and I mean, we were shocked. I was like, get in the car. And we jumped in his car. We flew to my parents' house, which is pretty close. And I ran in the house and told Mom, you're never going to believe this. I saw this grid pattern in the sky. And I mean, you know, she's open-minded. She believed me. But it was the most incredible thing I've ever seen. I've never seen anything like it since. I've never heard of anything like it. I wish somebody would, you know, I mean, there's millions of people that live around that, in that perimeter of that bay. Never heard a word about it. Never heard an account about it. I've looked it up on the MUFON database, looking up grid patterns and things like that. And I mean, that was it, you know. And I've never told my story really before just to a couple people. I just wanted to get it out there. That's kind of all I got.
That's certainly a strange one. I mean, there's a lot of people around that bay. You'd think someone would have seen it.
Yeah, You would think so. I mean, have you personally have heard an account of any source like that?
Well, the guy I've just done, actually, he saw like a grid pattern of lights, but these weren't...
No kidding.
Didn't really give the... I mean, this was only in September of this year.
Okay.
Yeah, so it wasn't that far back. But then again, you know, I mean, it's, if you got the naval bases down there, and they're always up to something, you know, they've always got some stuff going on.
Sure. It was incredibly... It was just shocking, I remember. It was so big and so perfect and so bright. It was just... I mean, to this day, I'm like, did I really see that? I want to get in touch with the guy I was with at the time. We don't really talk anymore, but if I get in touch with him, I'd like to ask him if he remembers.
And you said it was miles wide.
Miles wide. I mean, it took up almost your whole vision in the sky looking up.
I mean, that was 1998, mind.
Yeah, about 97, 98, yeah.
Even if it was top secret stuff, you know, we would have heard about that by now.
You would think so. I don't know what... Speculatively saying, I don't know what that would get anyone, you know, a flashing grid pattern and projecting up, you know, like what would the point of that be?
Yeah, I mean, 1998, I mean, we obviously have spotlights and drones and grid patterns and all that mm-hmm. kind of stuff now, but we didn't have that in 1998. Well, at least not in the public sector.
Right. And you didn't have the LED lighting technology you have now with the extreme bright lights that you can, you know, they manufacture now. I mean, back then you just like the best thing you had on a, you know, military or industrial levels, like magnesium lights, the burn magnesium, you know, that's kind of the strongest thing they had, I would imagine at that point.
Yeah. To our listeners, you know, if this sounds familiar to you, maybe, you know, you're in an AAV and you know something, this sounds very similar to that, something was being tested back towards the end of the night, is get in contact, because this is a very unusual one.
Yeah, I'd love to hear if someone knows what it is or seen it before.
I mean, like I said, there has to be someone that have seen it. And did you looked on the databases and nothing's come up for that time?
I looked about 4 years ago. I did some real digging and couldn't find one thing related to it.
Because it's not like in a very secluded area. I mean, this, you know, as I said, there's so many people around. This would have been seen.
New Jersey is the most densely populated state in the country. It's really dense around that area. All around the bay, it's dense towns and cities. I mean, there's ships going, there's people on ships, there's ferries going by, there's just cargo ships coming in and out, you know, never heard one word about it.
I did have a dream a couple of years ago, it might be about a year ago, and I dreamt that the sky was filled with a grid pattern, but it was like a honeycomb grid pattern.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
The grid was in a blue, like a bluey white.
Yeah.
Well, that was very strange.
Same thing, right.
Yeah, that's an unusual one. I don't know what to make of that. Hopefully someone will get in contact.
Yeah, I would love to hear something. But yeah, no, that's what we saw. And to this day, it's remained a real mystery to me.
Maybe it's the secretive Project Blue Beam.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, so like I said to our listeners, you know, if you're in the Navy and you know what this technology or what it was used for, get in contact. I'm sure Walter would like to hear at least something about it.
Would love to.
Good stuff. Good stuff, Walter. Okay. These amber lights that you saw that were dripping, it's like this molten lava.
Yes.
Now, if it had been, you know, I've seen Chinese lanterns. I've seen the big Chinese lanterns. And they do have, obviously, they have candles in there which have burning wax. But you can't see it.
Right.
You can't see it from the ground.
Yeah, we're talking a half a mile away. I mean, three quarters of a mile, I was maybe estimated, something like that. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, they were across the street and I saw wax coming out of them. I mean, it looked like metal dripping out of a light to me.
Exactly. Yeah, you wouldn't see it if it was a case. And obviously you're familiar with these. In any case, you know, we have them. They go up every year and for birthdays and everything, constantly flying around.
Right. Yeah. No. I haven't seen anything like that before or since, personally.
And that sighting was enough for you to get on the phone and call your mother.
Absolutely. I got very excited about it.
Yeah, that's a strange one. But, you know, I've had guests that have reported seeing this molten substance coming from objects. And it's,
wow.
It's getting to the point now where, because I do so many recordings, I hear a lot of very similar accounts. My guests don't know each other.
Sure.
So, you know, something is being reported. And have you always had an interest in this subject?
Always. I mean, since I was a kid, I mean, watching sightings, watching X-Files, you know, whatever was on TV at the time, I'd watch about it. I was a kid when the Phoenix Lights thing happened. I was, you know, very interested in that. Every time I'd go to the library in school, I'd be going right for the, you know, the UFO books or the Sasquatch books or whatever. You know, it was always a big interest of mine.
A Man from My Own Heart. I used to love that sighting show. That was good. They should bring that back.
Yeah, it was on Fox. Yep.
I often find when I was a kid, though, you know, you head to the library, and there's always it was always a very small section that they'd actually dedicated to the subjects.
Yeah, that's true. It was small. There wasn't much of a selection.
That's wonderful, Walter. Good stuff. Interesting. And yeah, hopefully we get some in contact about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, even if it's just anonymous, like, you know, someone from the Navy.
Yeah.
It may happen.
Yeah, anonymous. That was great. Great talking with you.
It's great having you on, Walter, okay?
Yeah, I feel honored. I really do. I've listened to a lot of episodes, so I feel very honored. So thank you.
You're more than welcome. Glad to finally get you on.
Yep.
Walter, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
All right, appreciate it. You the same. Thank you.
More than welcome. Take care and enjoy your day off.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Walter. Take care.
Take care, bye.
That's all for this week. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website, ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Franny, Mandy, and Walter for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.